And, you know, a lot of you have come up and asked questions about the book, and we've got clipboards. The book, we're hoping, we were trying to get it done by this time, but, you know, it just turns out to be far more involved than what you think.
It's like construction. It takes twice as long and costs four times as much.
Yeah, kind of. Sure. Good analogy. So I have clipboards. Can you, under that chair, if you could, just start passing it around. Don't worry. Only put your info on the clipboard if you want to us to let you know when the book's ready. No obligation or whatever. You can put your email, phone number. You don't have to. But if you would be interested, you can give us your contact info. We won't sell it or share it or whatever. Give it to Facebook.
Facebook knows anyway.
Yeah.
You can't even think about something without Facebook.
And also there's these Lovality messages. So some of the God quotes I'm trying to put into little quotes. And if you're interested in getting more of those or knowing more about that, you can check that box. So we're going to get back to the story. And so the Lighthouse of Love is very powerful. And we had more to say about that, but I think in the interest of time, we'll just move along. But what we know is in that writing, The Lighthouse of Love, then Kevin also had a message. And Jocelyn will fill you in about The Lighthouse of Love and when that all came.
So he did this, my birthday was 2 days after the writing that I had, and I hadn't told Catherine it was my birthday. I had nothing to celebrate. And I woke up that morning, just really, my usual pissed off state of mind. And I thought, okay, because Kevin was always, took the whole day off of work on my birthday. We'd go to the Biltmore, have breakfast, take a walk on the beach, read the LA Times cover to cover. Anyway, so when I woke up all by myself, I just let out. So I decided to go to Vaughn's and buy mimosa fixings and cheese danishes. And I was going to have a pity party instead of a birthday party. I was going to drink and eat carbs until I had a heart attack. And so I went to Vaughn's, dropped my kid off at school, went to Vaughn's. I wasn't going to go to work that day, bought all the stuff. And I'm in line. And Catherine calls me and says, is it your birthday? And I said, how'd you know that? And she goes, well, I have a gift for you if you want to come over and get it. And I said, okay. So, because, I like gifts. And so I went to her house. And she, I knock on the door, and she opens the door, and she's, in her robe holding her coffee, and her hair's all askew. And she hands me some papers and says, Kevin wanted to wish you happy birthday. And so I know, such a sweetheart. And so I drove out of her driveway and read the writing, and the God intro was really long. And I generally just want to skip that part and see what Kevin has to say, but they're getting longer because I apparently have some things to learn. But and so instead of going home, I didn't go home and drown myself in mimosas. I went to San Ysidro Ranch where we got married and just walked around. But in the writing, he talked about what he had been planning, which was to rent a convertible and do a fun thing. But what he had done instead was just make the day a miserable day for me, which was true. And but that he was going to send me a surprise and to keep my eyes peeled. And that he was a newbie and a fledgling, but something was coming. So, of course, after that, I'm looking looking in the closet. I'm wondering what kind of surprise it's going to be. My eyes are peeled, and I'm trying to think what it's going to be because I don't know what a dead person can give you for a birthday gift. And so a couple days later, I was in the living room, and we have two very large dogs, a Doberman and a Shepherd. They each weigh over 100 pounds. They're huge. And I hear the dogs barking furiously in the backyard, and I look, and they're jumping on the fence, lunging on this fence, and the fence is shaking like this. And there's a squirrel sitting on the top of the fence, and it's just looking at me like this. And I looked at the squirrel, and I said to my kids, because they were still home from school at that point, I said, oh, my God, it's Kevin, because Kevin had a thing for squirrels. I'd never seen a squirrel on my fence. I'd never seen a squirrel since that day. And the squirrel was just sitting there looking at me. These dogs are trying to make a squirrel McNugget out of it. And the squirrel is not moving. Minutes. It just stared at me. And Kevin had this thing for squirrels. And whenever we would go to Lake Arrowhead or Bass Lake, the first thing he'd do on the way is buy nuts and put them on the deck because he grew up in the East Coast and he liked the squirrel thing and the forest thing. And we don't have that really here. And so we'd watch them eat the peanuts, and he'd laugh like crazy, and then he'd go put them out there, and we'd be driving up Rim of the World. He'd go, look, squirrel. And he'd take his eyes off the road, and there's five people in the car on the Rim of the World Drive. He just had this thing for squirrels. So when I saw the squirrel on a fence where I'd never seen one before, and it was staring straight at me and didn't move when the dogs are trying to eat it, I knew it was a sign from Kevin. And in the next writing, the first thing I said is, was that the squirrel that it? And he said, yeah, that squirrel had been the sign from him that was personal to me that he would know. And since then, I've had dozens and dozens and dozens of signs in all kinds of different ways. But that was the first one.
And I call those divine synchronicities. And I think we probably all have had those. You know, I was thinking about this the other day. And my grandma used to wear that Avon liquid perfume deodorant. I don't know if any of you are from that era. But it was very distinct to grandma. I don't know. I remember it was in a bottle. I was like, this is deodorant? I don't think so. But sometimes I'll get a whiff of that. You know, we'll have a smell. We'll see something. And it'll remind us of our loved one or a time in our life, a memory. I believe those are heart coherence. Our hearts open, and for whatever reason, be that we're tapping into the electromagnetic field like the heart math people tell us, and we're getting non-local information. We think of a friend from 20 years ago and the friend calls us, or whatever. We've all had those experiences. And also, at the break, people were talking to me about, well, I had that experience, and not quite your experience, but we've all had those moments, I think, where we know that there's something more. That, and even when we have them, our mind goes like, well, that's not real. Well, that's not, you know, I mean, I had it myself. Even to this day, I have things and I go, this is so extraordinary, this can't be real. But I know that my mind can't make this stuff up, and I'm at peace with it after, you know, almost 30 years. But trusting our direct experience. Jocelyn had direct experience. Jocelyn, if you do read our book, you will see Jocelyn is, and you kind of get the... kind of get the idea now. She is really bright and also very mind oriented, but her heart and her direct experience, her mind couldn't explain it, but she knew it was real. So we've got a couple different ways we could go with this. We could do a little quick exercise if you want, and that means our Q&A will be shorter, or we can we have a little bit more. What would you like to do? Would you like to do a quick share with a partner share, or I leave it to you?
More story.
More cowbell, right? Is that what they say? More cowbell. So, okay.
Wait, why do you have that there?
Because we were going to do an exercise.
Oh, okay.
All right. She's
confused.
Yeah. All right. So, all right. So she told you about the divine synchronicity, the squirrel, and now we're just going to go to just talking a little bit, and I kind of hit on it a minute ago, that we're learning these techniques to be more open-hearted, to raise our baseline of heart coherence. But we all know when we go to our hearts, right? We all know that our heart does have this intuitive wisdom. It does have this ability that our brains just want to, like the dog with the bone, just want to chew. And I'm one of those people too. I mean, I'm a great chewer. I mean, I've got a big mind and I use it a lot. But trusting our direct experience is so powerful. And thank you. And that's what I hope from any of this story. And is that we start trusting our experience. You may not do what I do or have this kind of experience Jocelyn's had, but we all know when grace has fallen into our lives, don't we? I mean, we've all had our experiences of wonder and grace, our own personal, intimate, direct experiences. And sometimes when we have them, our mind wants to go, wow,
that can't be true, and you're just making it up or whatever. And I hope if you, when you leave here, that you go out with this trusting of your experience. Whether you believe this story, don't believe it, you could care less, that's totally fine. But to trust your experience, and I hope that people start talking more about this, because we do live in this heart energy field. We are swimming in it all the time. And our authors talk about heart coherence and what it benefits us individually, and what the social coherence in our relationships with others, and how positivity raises. I mean, we did Judy Contado's field of energy, and I think we have an energy field here. I mean, I think when I walk in here, and I've been coming for 10 or 12 years, I'm not sure, it feels like going home and putting my bath slipper on. It feels that good. There's just something here that my brain doesn't know what that thing is called word in life, but I know when I'm here. I know how it feels to be with all of you. So anyway, that's my plug for trusting, self-trust. And Jocelyn will tell you about...
This is my wrap-up. So a few days before Kevin's second surgery, we were talking. He was sitting on the couch having a glass of wine watching the news, which he'd done for a long time. And I bought a video recorder because he'd made this bucket list of all these things he wanted to do in his last year of life, and we were going to tackle it when he got off of his surgery. And so I was videotaping him because I was trying to learn how to use this video camera. And he said a little something he wanted each kid to know, and then he talked about his faith and about his spiritual explorations. And I can picture it. I remember laughing at him and going, "You and your spiritual explanation," because he's always so serious about stuff like that. And I mean, I could talk a lot about that. It was pretty funny because he was very much like that, and I was very not much like that. And he said, "You know, one day I know you're going to have more faith than me." And I just thought, no way. And on his bucket list, his number one thing wasn't a place he wanted to go or a person he wanted to see. It was Joss's epiphany. Because Joss, that's what everyone calls me. And I always told him, because he was so spiritual, and he said, "You know, this is what it's all about." And I'm like, "Eh." You know, I was reading Cosmo and People, and he was reading spiritual stuff. And I said, "Look, if God wants me to be a spiritual person, then I will have an epiphany. I will get struck down and filled with that Holy Spirit you talk about all the time, and then it'll be done. It'll be good, all good." And he said, "No, you have to study and read the Bible." And I was like, "I'm not going to slog through the Bible. You know, if I'm going to have it, I'm going to have it." But that was the number one thing on his bucket list. And this whole experience has been my epiphany. And you know, the thing is if I had been like struck down and filled with the Holy Spirit, I wouldn't have believed it. Because that would be like drinking the Kool-Aid in my mind. But to have an experience, a direct experience, then you know that it's real. And it's not for me something that I hope is real or that I pray is real. It's all real. And it's more real than I even know, because what I understand from what Kevin tells me is the experience that he's having is so much more expansive than anything he can convey. And that the love is bigger, and everything is just bigger and better. And so I got my epiphany, not the way I thought I would, but I did get it. And it's this whole experience, it's... believe it or not, I don't sweat the small stuff like I used to. I think Catherine would dispute that because I can be a bit anal retentive. And also, I'm not fearful. Like, I don't fear dying. I mean, I don't want to suffer when I'm dying. I don't want it to hurt. Who does? But I'm not worried about what's going to happen afterwards. I know I'm going to be with Kevin. I know all my kids are going to be fine. Even with all the little ups and downs in the end, it's all fine. It's all good. We're good, I'm good, you're good, you know, life is good, and it's all going to be okay. So I have kind of a peace that I didn't have before from having this whole experience.
So now we'll go to Q&A, and I know Tom really wants you to speak into the mic, And just so you can see our man of the hour, there's a picture of Kevin and Jocelyn.
Okay, so that was at...
You need to be a speaker. You need you need to be on your mic.
Oh, okay. So I just have to tell you, that's one of my favorite pictures because he always had a suit on. He was a lawyer, too. And he never would ever go out in just a T-shirt like that. But we were at Lake Arrowhead the Father's Day before he died. And we were sitting by the pool. And when we're on vacation, I always encourage him not to shave because he shaves every day. And I like that gruff look. So I just it's just my favorite picture. My daughter just snapped it on her phone. And that chain around his neck is a cross, the stainless steel cross he always wore. And when he went in to get the surgery, he took the cross off and told me to give it to one of our kids. And I gave it to my daughter. And then when my younger son, who just turned 18, went off to college, she gave it to him so it would keep him safe when he's in school. So it's a great picture.
All right. I think Don wants a mic.
I'll take it immediately. You're finished.
And what mic are we using to answer questions? This one?
Yes.
I was very impressed with your testimony. And as I was listening to you, my eyes drifted to the left, to the traditional blessing that we've been giving. And I realized, all of a sudden, the first three words could be reversed. You bless us as you share your gifts of spirit, light, and insight.
And we bless each other.
Isn't it amazing?
Wow.
Yes,
thanks, Tom.
Thanks. Kevin's happy. I feel Kevin happy.
So if anybody has a question, be kind to us. Be gentle.
Actually,
this is a big coming out here.
I don't have a question. I have an experience. And this was as early as March. I had some major upheavals between me and my stepdaughter. And I thought, should I go to Catherine and ask to speak to her mother, who died 44 years ago? And instantly, Jackie was next to me. And I said, Jackie, you know, how can I look at all of this? And it was like a direct infusion of a felt sense that I felt I could unpack for years and years. I'm just beginning to unpack it. And it just made two meetings with her, a shower and Mother's Day, tolerable and workable. So, and I thank Catherine so much for that because in some way you did mediate it. Anyone else? Questions or experiences tying together this with the literature? Here is a guest today.
I'm very new at this, but I'm concerned what's going to happen to you two from here on. I can see the crowds gathering and the TV cameras on you, and I'm just a little concerned.
Well, I'm not concerned because I'm not the one who can talk to dead people. So, you know, they're going to be going to her and saying, you know, where did Uncle Bob put that life insurance policy, or where's that ring, or, yeah, so.
And for me, I've been doing this for, like I say, 30 years. And I've been doing it very, very quietly. There's a woman in the back, and we do. She hosts a rosary at her house once a month. And she's been just a joy to me. And I said, hey, maybe you want to come and hear this story. Now, we've been doing rosary, having a rosary at her house once a month. And I feel like God has taken care of me. A lot of people over the years said, well, do you ever write for yourself? You know, or even my husband, well, why don't you ask? And I just feel like God is taking care of me. And it is kind of scary. It was scary to think about, okay, here I'm coming telling you this story. And there are people in my life that have no idea. But I every day invite the Holy Spirit in and say, your will be done. So when Dawn and Pat and Judah said, hey, come talk, I said, you know, God, this is a big ask here. you know. Mm-hmm. But I keep, it is my belief that God is running all of this. And so I am concerned about the kinds of things you talk about, but I also know that my prayer is to be of service and to do God's will. So I'm going to trust God on this one, and I may need to hire some bodyguards. No, I'm just kidding. But it's a really good question.
And, you know, for me, Kevin, on his bucket list, one of his top things was he wanted to take a missions trip. It was really important to him, and he didn't get to do it. And I kind of view this book as the missions trip that he didn't get to take. And so for me, it's really important to share it because it's fulfilling something that he wanted to do but wasn't able to do.
Hi, Catherine.
Hi, Barbara.
Hi. Have you both spoken at the near-death experience? That's not a club, but a meeting right. that they have every Wednesday.
We did back in April. That was the only other time.
November. Wait.
It was April.
Okay.
Hello.
Do-do-do-do-do-do.
Okay. We're not nervous. We're just having an out-of-body and mind experience up here on stage. No. So, yeah, we did. And that's SoundClouded. So if you want to hear that talk, which was different than this, it's available online. If you just go to the IANS website and you'll see our names and you can click on it. And there's a two-hour talk there, which is different than this because it's geared towards them.
Which website?
The IANS, IANS of Santa Barbara, IANDS of Santa Barbara. And then they record a lot of their speakers, and they recorded our talk.
Oh, okay.
So you can, like, podcast it or whatever.
All right, just want to make sure you did it. Okay.
Thank nice. You. Anybody else? Oh, we got some. There we go. Hi.
Hi. I just want to... Your description of Kevin's last moments really resonated with me. My father died at a pretty young age, 63, of lung cancer, and was in hospice at home with my mom and myself to a lesser degree, and my brother and my oldest sister, who's a nurse to a greater degree, took care of him at home. And my sister was the one who was with him at his final moments. He wasn't comatose, but he was certainly heavily medicated with morphine at that time and really was just sit there in bed. And my sister came into the room, and he sat bolt up in bed and reached out with both hands with his eyes wide open and then passed.
Wow. Thank you for sharing that. Wow.
So I was wondering, all the heart math stuff, has that given you kind of a new way to talk about this and think about this?
Right. And it has, because I know that I sense energy. So it's not like I'm hearing a voice. I'm sensing energy. And then it's sort of like in your mind when you have a thought, are you hearing a voice? Like, you know, we all know we're thinking, but is it a voice you're hearing? So turning that energy into prose. And yeah, I mean, the electromagnetic field and how they talk about it. And I think that it really has given me a framework, a different framework to view that. And, you know, in our lifetime, in my lifetime, I hope, we're just studying this phenomenon so you know, crazy. And probably we don't even have the apparatus to study it. But, you know, their research was good. Like, I was like, where they said they could measure the electromagnetic field that the animals could sense. So, yes, it really has made me have more of a framework of a science kind of thing and that's been really helpful. And I think that our book talks about prayers and meditation and moving into coherence. Well, I believe that and I hadn't thought about this until this session, is that when I do this, which is, I don't have a ritual, I could do it right this second. It's not like I have to switch my brain or do anything. It's really, I'm just sinking into that heart coherence, and for whatever reason, like chapter 7 says, when we raise our frequency, we have these higher potentials. So it has been helpful.
There's been many stories of people returning in the form of birds or animals, and I'm wondering if any of you have such, and you would want
and
to.
And there's a question behind you, Dawn.
Okay, let me give this to Harriet and then to the next person.
My husband died 12 years ago, and when he was ill for probably 7 years, but in the last 2 months were difficult times. And he had a chair out in our den with a window to the side, and a crow would often be sitting on the fence there. And in our backyard, there were crows. But after he died, I thought, well, maybe they'll leave. They didn't. They've been with me ever since. They come, and particularly in the couple of months after he died, like one dove down as I was going out to the car, not in a threatening way. It didn't feel that way. But it was, I call him Jake, but... So some way I've identified with him, but he is, for me, Chuck, and brings back that wonderful memory of our time together.
Wonderful.
So I love the story about the squirrel.
Thanks for sharing. Yeah.
Okay, I was going to ask you this question privately, but...
maybe we should rethink this public ask.
No. But everyone might as well hear the answer. I've been sitting next to you and behind you and all around you at Unity Church for years and never had any idea of what you do. And I, too, am concerned you're going to be bombarded by people. But a couple of Sundays ago, I was there by myself. And at the end of the service, we always hold hands and sing the peace song. Mm-hmm. And you happened to be across the aisle from
right.
me, and we held hands. And afterwards, you took my hand and looked at me and said, "You are very strong." And, of course, I said, "Well, thank you, thank you." That's probably the only compliment my mother ever gave me. It was at the end of her life. Very
really.
And she was pretty critical. I'm sorry, Mom.
She forgives you.
She did say that. So my question is that something that you just felt and you commented?
When
or?
I said that to you?
Yeah.
When we were, you know, we sing "Let There Be Peace on Earth and Let It Begin with Me." When I was holding your hand, it just felt so, the energy that was pouring off of you was just strength. And I was like, whoa, I'm trying to sing the song, and I'm just thinking, wow. And I usually I don't comment to people, but I said, wow. Well, you said, "Your hand's so soft." So then I thought, well, I guess I'll do it. And I said, oh, you're so strong.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like, who knows if it was, because sometimes who knows if it's me, it's the energy field. But it was pouring off of you, and it was palpable. I thought, man, if I'm ever in a fix, I want somebody like this next to me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's me again. When you showed the letter up on the screen, what was the letter? Why did you show that? Was it something you wrote or something that was like dictated to you?
That is what an actual writing is.
That's the first page of our first
writing,
I
sit
think.
Down and I write this written record. And I write what I'm receiving. And then I also write the person's comments in it.
Okay.
So that there is an actual written record. And I write, if you ever saw me do this, you can't even believe that somebody could write as fast as I can and it be coherent. So this is what is what I do. This is my long handwriting, and that's what I call them, writings. I say I do writings. But it's not like I'm, you know, chanting or I'm going somewhere. I mean, it's like having a cup of coffee. It's just like she said, that is an actual writing. And that photograph is the actual first page of that first writing that I did that night when Kevin was at UCLA and I was in Washington.
So. Well, when you're writing it, is it something that you're hearing and you're just writing as you're hearing?
It's like energy and prose. Coming like I use the example, when you think a thought, are you hearing something?
Yeah.
Right? You're not really hearing something. So it's moving that energy into prose. I don't know how any of this works. I wouldn't even begin to tell you that I do. I just know that it does work.
Okay.
And so, hope that helped. Gordon, my neighbor. Right. When the power goes out, he knows where to go. No, I'm just kidding. I'm cheesy.
Do you have a generator?
No, we don't have a generator. I'm just making a joke.
I really appreciated your stories. It was really, really touched me a lot. But I'd like to say, I wonder if you ever were in kind of session with a dying person called assisted dying. I understand they have this program now where loved ones or people are with a loved one and they experience a moment of death.
Oh, that shared death.
Yeah, that's what it's called.
Shared death.
That's what I was wondering
about.
Yeah,
and I think that's William Peters' work, and he's a local guy, and he's making a lot of strides researching that, where you're with your loved one, and somehow, like with Jocelyn, the way I understand it, you'd have to really look at William Peters and get the true scoop from him. But like Jocelyn would have had that same experience, not just witnessed Kevin's reaction, but have actually felt like she went with him and had the experience and in real time with him. And I definitely, it's not that uncommon in what has happened in a lot of writings is that, just like she said, what's the last thing that you remember? Oftentimes, deceased people will share very specific information about what happened at their time of death. That like what you were saying with your dad and your sister, you know, and obviously then people are just like, oh my gosh, okay, game over now. So but that's a different kind of thing. But yes.
I think we have time for one more.
Oh.
Well, two things I wanted to say. One was that Emily Dickinson, as a teenager and in her early 20s, did writings like this. She wasn't with anybody, but she wrote spontaneously. There's a term for that, and I just can't think of it, but the spontaneous writing.
They call it automatic writing.
Her father made her stop because he thought it was too spooky. And another thing I wanted to say was I was with my husband when he died. It was nighttime, and I had meant to sit up all night, but I fell asleep. And I felt someone coming into the room, someone very loving and very kind and very warm and very light-filled. And at that point, he stopped breathing. And the room stayed filled with that loving presence for months. Anybody that would come in would say, what is in this room? It feels so good. When I was out of town, my daughter stayed in the room, and she said, I didn't want to leave. It felt so wonderful. Mm. Finally, it's dissipated, but still, it's been 6 years now. It still lingers a bit, that feeling of love and tenderness. So I knew that someone came and took him by the hand. He didn't have to go alone.
Yeah.
And it turned out to be quite a wonderful experience. Yeah. I wasn't shocked. Mm-hmm. I didn't cry. I just thought, how nice for him.
Thank you. And that's really what I hope comes from this book, is that people trust their own direct experience. I don't know. I couldn't give you a theory. I don't know if it's heart math. I don't know if it's electromagnetic fields. But I know that these experiences, like people have shared just recently today in the Q&A, they are heart-moving. They are some of the most profound experiences of our lives. and we don't talk about him, or we feel embarrassed. And, you know, I can relate. I'm up here saying this is what I do. But I hope that we can talk about those, and we can trust ourselves, and that we can let those experiences, you know, this idea of global coherence that's talked about in our book, that when we raise the positivity and we're more open-hearted, that we can change the world. And I know it sounds like a big, lofty thing, but why not? It's changing in one direction I'm not too happy about. So I would love for this heart coherence and us to be more heart. And just, you don't, like I said, you don't have to believe this story or whatever.
Yes,
but
you do.
That
you have to believe the story. It's true.
It is true. But,
take that back.
But anyway, thank you for listening, and thank you for your questions and your kind and loving attention. We live in an amazing world, and aren't we blessed? So thank you. Thanks so much.
Before we go to the announcements, perhaps I could offer a postscript. It's a phrase that we all heard aloud when Steve Jobs died. Remember? Oh, wow. Thank you both so much.
Thank you, Pat.
And for those who got first to the table, we thank the Brown Group. I'm sure they said, oh, wow. And next week we will have the Green Group, and there was a switch. If you had some old flyers, there's a switch of persons, and the one for next time is healing coherence, and I can't read that, but it's here, right? It's not in the sanctuary. Alice will be in the sanctuary the following week.
We're taking all that we have been doing, and we're turning it now into what is innate in all of us, into the healing impulse. And a fairly remarkable 10-year project has been going on here in Santa Barbara between two churches, just ordinary folks like you and me, who have found our way into the practice of this kind of coherence for one another through prayer and through healing. It's full of wonderful stories. I think you're going to go home with some new skills in your pocket. So we look forward to having you with us next week when you'll hear about healing coherence. It's real and happening here in Santa Barbara with a bunch of church people just like us. Mm. Thank you very much. We'll see you all next week.